الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله الأمين، صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. We bear witness that there is no deity or God worthy of any worship except Allah. He's the only one deserving of worship, and He has no partners. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a slave and his messenger, whom we ask Allah to exalt His mention and grant Him peace and send His salutations upon Him and upon His companions and all those who follow them on the path of righteousness until the day of recompense. All you who have believed, be mindful of Allah and fear Him the way He deserves it, and do not die except in the state of submission as Muslims. As to what follows, verily, the most truthful speech is the Quran, the Book of Allah. And the best guidance and way of life and example to be followed is that of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of affairs are those which we introduce into this deen of ours. Because every newly introduced matter is an innovation, and every innovation will lead astray, and whatever is astray will end up in the hellfire. And sure enough, human beings manage to innovate in everything. There's a praiseworthy innovation and there's a blameworthy innovation. Praiseworthy innovation has to do with materialistic life that we live. Inventing a fan, inventing an air condition, inventing a vehicle, and the list goes on. This is part of the matters which Allah enabled the human beings to do, and it's part of the decree of Allah that will come to pass until the day of judgment. We will continue to innovate things which did not exist in the generations which preceded us. And there's no harm in that. In fact, if anything, this is a sign of the greatness of Allah. If the human being who is full of deficiency is able to manufacture something so great, this is only an indication about the greatness who gave him this ability. Who would have thought that we could make an airplane fly for hours, 10 hours, 15 hours, from one side of the earth to the other? Subhanallah, it's an amazing thing. Who did it? Who managed it? Who controls it? Human beings who are deficient, who depend on a greater power, who themselves don't have the power. It's all leading us to one thing: the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. But the problem is not in that type of innovation. No, it is not. The problem is in the innovations which have to do with belief or acts of worship. And there are some which are extremely abhorrent, and some which are mediocre, and some which are manageable, even though all of them are blameworthy. But there are particular ones which are extremely abhorrent, disgusting. They are so grave in terms of how deviant these ideologies are, that Allah Azza wa Jal used the strongest wordings you will find in the whole Quran. If you read the Quran from cover to cover, you will not find ayat which are stronger in words than the ayat related to this particular topic that we'll be discussing today. And it is not ironic, nor is it coincidental, that we're discussing this in December, just before Christmas. Because the topic, directly or indirectly, is Christmas. And this should be of importance to our beloved reverts. While born Muslims can learn something that they can use when they discuss these matters with the Christians particularly. What is it? What is that statement that is so grave that Allah used the strongest wordings in the Quran to refute? It is the mere accusation that Allah has begotten a son. تعالى الله عما يقول الظالمون علوا كبيرا. Exalted is Allah above what the oppressors say. Way exalted is He above this particular statement, which is taken so lightly by the Christians, which they differ in how to word it, or what dogma they have to create around it, or how to interpret or misinterpret it. So depending on the denomination of the Christian, you will find their own version of interpreting it. But at the bottom, at the end of the day, the bottom line, it has to do with Jesus being a God or the Son of God, or one of the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, whichever term you prefer. Where did that come from? What are the origins of this? Greek paganism. The church was influenced by the paganism of pre-existing nations, and they inserted this into the pure teachings of Jesus Christ, whom we Muslims proudly believe in. The only nation on earth who believe in Jesus besides Christians are the Muslims. The Hindus don't believe in Him, the Buddhists don't believe in Him, the Jews deny Him. The Jews are the ones who wanted to kill Him and crucify Him because they claimed He was an imposter and a liar. No other nation believes in Jesus but Islam and Muslims. However, we have unique elements which they lack. We have a Quran which Allah revealed, in which Jesus was mentioned 25 times. And a chapter was named after His mother Mary that they don't have. We have a book which has been preserved by Allah for 1400 years. No second version of it was done. No revision of the Quran was made where some verses were inserted or deleted. But their Bible is full of that. Discrepancies in the books. A book is a compilation of pages in the Bible. Whether you refer to the Catholic Bible or the Protestant's Bible, there's a 7-book discrepancy between the two books. Meaning some of them got the Bible, removed 7 books from the thing, and said, no, this is the Word of God. What you have there with these additional 7 books is not the Word of God. And then they turn around and say, no, yours with these deletions is not the Word of God, ours is the Word of God. And then the Mormons come and say, neither one of you has the Word of God, we have the Word of God. Then the Jehovah's Witnesses get involved. And you see the Christians just slaughtering themselves, trying to prove to you that their book is the Word of God. And guess what? None of them is the Word of God. None. They are the words of men. Human beings, amazingly anonymous people. The Christian scholars don't know who Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John really were. They don't even have a last name for the guy. You would be known by Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman Mustafa. The guy's name was Matthew. Who in the world is Matthew? Who is Luke? Who is John? They don't know. The average Christian who goes to church doesn't know this. If he were to refer to his own scientists, his own theologians, his own scholars, they don't know who these people really are. Maybe they were disciples, maybe not. Well, if they were disciples, they weren't speaking Greek. And the first Bible was written in Greek. They were speaking Aramaic. So we can't even say that they actually said these words. And if we get into the depth of it, you will find that the Bible is nothing but a compilation by many scholars of many books. Some of which is true from the prophetic words, and the rest is human innovations that will lead you astray. And that constantly and continuously and presently leads millions of Christians astray. Because of their misunderstanding of who Jesus is or was. Allah Azza wa Jal made it very simple for the Muslims. And this is the message that you as a Muslim should find pride in and comprehend and internalize, so that this door of doubt can be ever shut. And for the reverts from Christianity, you need to understand this well, because it is an obligation on you to convey it to your family members and to the loved ones and to anyone who you come in contact with, where the situation allows for you to communicate this message. You must communicate this message. You cannot leave them astray. Many of them don't know better. We're not saying every Christian on earth is deliberately receiving the message of Islam and rejecting it. Many of them don't know better. We give them the benefit of the doubt. But for them to know better, we have to do the job in inviting them. After they reject the invitation, then we have another stance about this person being one who's completely rejecting. Prior to that, who told him? No one. Many of them have been living here for 10 years. 10 years as a Christian working in the kingdom. No one bothered to tell him about Islam. The only thing he knows about Islam is that he doesn't get his salary on time. The only thing he knows about Islam is that Fulan stole something from him. This person oppressed him. This person is not giving him this. They have the worst impression because of the way some of us act. And then we say, well, they're not becoming Muslim, because we're not doing the job of showing him what Islam really is. But just as important as our behavior is our understanding of the message. So let us go through this briefly, because the time does not allow to elaborate. In regards to Jesus in Islam versus Jesus in Christianity, Allah Azza wa Jalla told us clear cut, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمٍ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Verily, the similitude of Jesus in the sight of Allah is like that of Adam. Adam, Allah simply said to him, be, and he was. Meaning Allah's ability to create is such that He issues a command and it is executed. And if Allah was able, and He was able to create Adam without a father and without a mother, then being able to create Jesus without a father is simpler and easier and more logical. So anyone who wants to use the idea that Jesus didn't have a father, therefore He is the Son of God, or God is His Father, is dead wrong. Because Adam will be more of a Son of God than Jesus ever was. And the Christians don't say that Adam is the Son of God and he is salvation and that you should, you know, believe in this and that. They don't do that. Why? He's a greater miracle than Jesus. So you can't play with that one. Allah told us in the Quran, مَا الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمْ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةٌ كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ انظر كَيْفَ نُبَيِّنُ لَهُمُ الْآيَاتِ ثُمَّ انظر أَنَّ يُنْفَكُونَ. Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than a messenger. Many messengers came before him. He was not the first. And his mother was a woman of truth. They both used to eat food. Look, Allah said to the Prophet ﷺ, look, O Muhammad, look how we make the signs clear for them. Then look how they are deluded and turn away. What does it mean that you eat food, my brother in Islam? Do you understand what Allah is hinting at and alluding to? It's not just about eating food. Eating food is a human habit of deficiency and weakness. If you don't eat food, you will starve to death. So eating food means you are dependent on something else. God is independent of everything. He cannot be God. Even worse than that, when you eat food, you have a digestive system which will do something to this food. And eventually, you must go to the toilet. And if someone were to dare to say that God went to the toilet, then this person is blasphemous and deserves the hellfire. And that is what Allah is hinting at. Jesus used to eat food. He had human needs. Therefore, He went to the bathroom. How dare you say that God went to the bathroom? What type of God are you worshipping? So you can't play with this one either. Allah further said, Even though we believe as Muslims that Allah loves Jesus and loves His mother Mary. Mary, the Virgin Mary, who conceived Jesus miraculously without the interference of a man. Yet look what Allah said. When someone wanted to cross a line, when someone crosses that line, look at the response from Allah. It should make you shiver in your place. Allah said, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ قُلْ فَمَنْ يَمْلِكُ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا إِنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُهْلِكَ الْمَسِيحَ ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ وَأُمَّهُ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. They have disbelieved those who say that Allah is the Messiah, the son of Mary. Look at this. Allah said, then who has the least power against Allah? If Allah wanted to destroy Jesus, the son of Mary, and his mother, and everyone upon earth, who has the least power against Allah? Even though Jesus and Mary didn't do anything, Allah threatened that everyone would be destroyed because of the people saying that Allah is the son of Mary, that Jesus is God. In the other surah, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا. They say the Most Merciful has begotten a son. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. You are saying something outrageous. Allah's warning the human beings. How outrageous is it? تَكَادُ السَّمَوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا. The heavens are about to split asunder, and the earth is about to rip open, and the mountains are about to fall in ruin, because they say Allah has begotten a son. This is how grave this statement is. And you want to celebrate Christmas with the Christians? You want to take it lightly? You want to subdue to their pressure with the Christmas tree and the gifts? Do you love gifts so much that you sell your religion? This is what Christmas is about, whether you like it or not. We don't care how materialized it has become in this current age. We know it's a bunch of gimmicks for people to get gifts and nonsense, that nobody even cares about Jesus anymore. But the bottom line of it is the idea that the Son of God was born on December 25th. And your involvement in that necessitates going against the Lord of the heavens and the earth and being in agreement with people whom Allah said such words against. So we should be careful. There are many other verses, my brothers in Islam, that are even scarier because of this concept that Allah has begotten a son. Begetting is an act of the lower animal kingdom and human beings. The term itself is repulsive. It does not have any figurative meaning to it. It is a literal word. To beget a son has to do with a sexual act, therefore delivery at the end. And if the Christians were to say that Jesus was the Son of God in some figurative way, then the Bible is full of the sons of God. In Exodus chapter 4 verse 22, that Israel, God supposedly said, Israel is my son, he's my firstborn. In the Hebrew language, this is in reference to someone who is godly, someone who is mindful of God. It doesn't mean the son of God like God has a son. But the Christians insist that no, he's the begotten son of God. And this is exactly what puts us at odds with the Christians. We have to know what our religion teaches. Because when we know, we can convey. The amazing thing, my brothers in Islam, is that this information is not only supported by Quranic textual evidence, even biblical evidence. When Allah said in the Quran that He is Rasul قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ, He is a messenger, many were the messengers who came before Him. If you read the Bible, in Matthew chapter 5 verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, Do not think that I came to destroy the law of Moses, or the prophets. Don't think I came to bring something new, is what he's saying to these people. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Until heavens and earth pass away, not even the ditto, not even a jot from the law should be changed until all is fulfilled. You say this to the Christian. Tell him, I'm forced to either believe what your book says about Jesus, what the Quran says about Jesus, or what your church says about Jesus. And any intellectual person will favor the Quran and then whatever is in the Bible over what someone says in church. According to the biblical text, he did not come to change the law of Moses. Did Moses teach in his law that there's a Son of God coming? No, he didn't. Did he teach them Tawheed? Yes, he did. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Jesus said the same thing in the New Testament. In Mark chapter 12 verses 29, 30, same exact words. He was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? The greatest commandment is La ilaha illallah. That's what it is. How can you then turn away from that and come up with some other nonsense? How in the world is that feasible in someone's mind? If Jesus had a message which was different than that of Moses, then the very first commandment should have been, I am the Son of God, I and God are one, anything of the sort, which we would refute by the Quran. If they were to bring these in the Bible, we would still refute it in the Quran. But amazingly, even in the Bible, you won't find that. You'll find the same message of the Quran. So this is a chapter that is closed for our reverts from Christianity. This is a chapter that is closed. Because remember, the shaitan, your enemy, the devil, will never leave you alone. He hates the fact that you left Christianity. He hates the fact that you became a Muslim. And he will continuously try to take you back to Christianity any way possible. The only way you can stand firm is by knowledge. When you know these things, no one can ever change your mind afterwards, inshallah. But when you don't know, and someone throws a couple of verses at you, and you get confused, then you're opening the door for deviance once again in your life. And you don't want to go back to Christianity after Allah guided you to Islam. That will be the worst thing you will ever do in your life. That's like someone who was lost for the longest time, and he finally found the roads with signs, then he went back to get lost again on his own whim. And he died in the process. Even the people who want to feel bad for him, they cannot. So he's weird. He found a way. Why did he go back to being lost when he found a way? It won't make any sense. In the second part of the khutbah, we will discuss more about how to deal with the pressure of Christmas in this day and time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and send peace upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is Christmas anyways? It's Christ Mass. If you want to go back to the linguistic origin of the word, and as it is explicitly mentioned in the title, it has to do with Christ, Jesus, peace be upon him. Now, nowadays, the situation overall that surrounds us has changed as well. You will find in some stores and what have you, some indications that Christmas is being celebrated behind closed doors in the kingdom. And you may find in certain places or private sessions where some people might invite you over, coincidentally on the 25th of December, to have dinner. Or you may go back home during that vacation time and then have family back home that are Christians celebrating Christmas and expect you to come over to spend some quality time with the family. And this is where you have to draw the line. This is not an area of gray where, wallahi, some say, so let me see which opinion is more convenient. There's no gray in this area. It's black and white. And the one position which cannot be refuted or debated or discussed, is the fact that you may not attend these events even if you were going to grab a microphone and give them a lecture. If they told you, come over and teach us about Islam, this is not the right time for you to do this. Because at that moment, they're full of love, the fake satanic love, for everything that has to do with Jesus. Because it's Christmas time. And for you to come and offend them, like you heard me right now, it would be very difficult to digest that one and ruin their Christmas night. Do you really think they're going to say, oh, that's great news, take down the Christmas tree, let's go to the masjid? Give me a break. While that might happen once in a million years, you don't want to be in that situation, because if it doesn't happen, then what you going to do? Then you find yourself sitting among Christians on Christmas Eve. And how are you going to avoid now all of the prohibited acts which will take place around you? It is impossible to do so. Spending time with the family? Sure. Keeping the kinship ties? Sure. There are times for that. That night and day, avoid them. Don't go. You cannot go. If you go, then you are allowing all of the verses I mentioned earlier, where Allah threatens in the strongest way, to apply to you. You're allowing it willingly. And therefore, don't blame anyone afterwards if your affairs change. And like I said, we all make mistakes and we are all sinful. And one sin versus another sin differ. But the area which we cannot play with at all is that of Tawheed. That oneness and uniqueness of Allah, this is not an area where sins are really acceptable. Because that will take you from Islam into something else instantly. So you're playing with your belief system now. This is not like someone who listens to music, he knows music is haram, he's trying to leave it alone, but every now and then the shaitan beats him, he hears that one song he loves so much, then he leaves it alone, cries, repents to Allah. This is, as bad as it is, this is fine compared to someone saying, well, I'm a Muslim today, but I go to Christmas Eve, spend time with the family, tomorrow I go back to the masjid. These are not the same. They're not the same. So you have to be very careful. And when the time is right, which is not on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, my brother in Islam, whom Allah guided to Islam, feel for your family. Feel for your mother, for your father, for your nephews and cousins and uncles and aunts. Feel for them. You were in their shoes and you didn't know. Then Allah facilitated some human being to come to you and tell you about Islam. Until you accepted Islam, can you not do the same for others, especially those who are dear to you? Isn't it, when there's a special offer, you tell everyone that you know? Mega sales at extra. 20 people send you a WhatsApp message. Hurry, before it's too late. Why? You want to share the good. You're not selfish. You found a good deal. You share it with those whom you think are interested. You find Islam and you keep it to yourself. The electronics now are more important than faith. You can share electronics, but you cannot share your faith. Subhanallah. Be brave. Be strong. Learn this religion. It's the best thing Allah ever gave you. And once you learn it, share it with others. Once you travel on this path, then the rest of the world is insignificant and unimportant. Who cares what anyone thinks? As long as your role in life is someone who's showing the light to the people by the will of Allah. This is the Prophets and the Messengers. You are living the lifestyle of the prophets and the messengers. Can anyone be better than you? Never. But keeping Islam to yourself, and every time you put under pressure, you give in and you surrender and you go with it, you will fail. And you will make others fail. And you will lose the life that Allah once gave you. So my brothers in Islam, those who work in companies, يا شباب أجلس أنت وياه لا تتحرك. When you see someone walking around, grab him and put him down nicely. Grab him and because this is distraction, this is not allowed in Islam. In the middle of sermon, people just walking around. Those who are working in the companies, the pressure to send Christmas greetings for this company because you have good business relations and what have you, this is not your role, not your job. Do not do it. Your manager will not come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and say, oh Allah, I forced him to do it. So don't punish him for it. It's my fault. He's not going to do that. He's going to say, I just told you, you did it. You have your own will. You have your own strength. Just like the shaitan. I invited you. You accepted my invitation. He will not benefit you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So don't listen to him. No Christmas greetings. No Christmas mood and Christmas feelings and all this garbage. None of this exists. The 25th of December is just like any other day in this life of ours. In fact, it's a day where Allah Azza wa Jal is being sinned against in the greatest manner. Where so many human beings decide to go against the Lord of the worlds simultaneously. Don't be with them. And don't get involved. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep us firm on the deen. And to show us the truth is truth and help us follow it. And to show us the falsehood as falsehood and help us avoid it. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulub, isrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. Wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wanfa'na bima 'allamtana. Waj'alna min ibadika as-salihin wa awliyaika al-muqarrabin. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم عافنا واعف عنا واجعلنا من المعافين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا واستر عيوبنا وعلمنا ما تحبه وترضاه اللهم ارض عنا وعن المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد أقم الصلاة